Proverbs 14, verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Well, that's the verse right there that ladies says a lot. If you have a home, if you have a family, you can be solely responsible for whether your house is being built or torn down.
Yeah.
Boy, that lays a lot on you ladies. I understand that, but that is what the Bible says. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth... Don't worry, ladies, I'm not going to preach on that. Verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. And there's God again telling us, listen, there's some people you just need to absolutely stay away from. Absolutely go away from a foolish man. I tell you. Anyway, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. I want to preach to you tonight from that verse on understanding the way. Our Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. Again, we thank you so much for the Bible and the privilege it is to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, thank you for this time together around your word. Help us now to, Lord, to be seated and to pay attention on purpose, to keep our eyes and our hearts and our ears open and alert, Lord, to your Holy Spirit's voice. Pray you fill me with that power, God, that only you have, and Lord, that you bind Satan. God, there be no distractions here tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Understanding the way. I'm going to give every one of you tonight the benefit of the doubt, okay? And I will say, since you're here tonight on a Wednesday night, that you desire to walk in the way of the Lord, at least today, okay? You desire, I believe from our verse here in verse 8, that we also need, according to this verse, to understand that way. Let me say it to you this way. We want to walk in the way of the Lord, but we need to understand. Listen, let me say it. We need to know what to expect.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to know what to expect. If we're going to be wise, according to verse 8, we're going to understand the way in which we're going. We're not going to know the future. It's not what I'm talking about. But we're going to understand some things that are common to everyone that walks in the way of the Lord. You know, you can be prepared.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you know, when you get up in the morning, I suppose you prepare yourself for your job. I suppose you prepare yourself for school when school's in session. I suppose you get dressed and put on some shoes and socks and maybe brush your teeth, I hope. Or you know, whatever you need to do. Your tooth, maybe. But you need to comb your hair, maybe eat some breakfast. I mean, you prepare. I hope you read your Bible. I hope you're praying, walking with God. But just thinking logically, you know, we prepare. We come to church. We don't come to church with bathing suits on.
Right.
It surely wouldn't fly here anyway.
Amen, brother.
Why not? Because I'm preparing to go to church.
Right.
Amen. We went out with the men. We went out to the boat and to the marina and on the lake. And, you know, when the men went swimming, I didn't go swimming. I was too dignified, you have to understand. But when the boys went swimming, you know, that lake's pretty deep, so they prepared. And if they did, they put on life jackets. Amen. They prepared. You know, when we're going to walk in the way of the Lord, we need to understand what this way includes so we can be prepared, because that's wise. That's wise. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. So if a horse can be prepared, I think God's children need to be prepared.
Amen.
Okay, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. How is that horse prepared, though? Someone prepares it. But the Bible says, but safety is of the Lord. Our safety, we know, is from God, but we need to be prepared.
Amen.
Let me show you just quickly. I've got a lot to say. I'm going to go. I really can't preach all this. Every one of these could be another message. But let me quickly look at what the way of the Lord is not. The way of the Lord, number one, is not the way of the smooth-talking con man. Right. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I'm saying these things, and then we're just going to go through these. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, excuse me, from the man that speaketh froward things. Okay, speaking froward things, flattering, smooth-talking, con artists, lying, forsaking people that will say anything to get their way. Yeah. You and me, number one, you and me, if we're gonna understand what the way of the Lord is not, we certainly, the way of the Lord is not going to include hanging out with someone like this. Okay? The way of the Lord is not going to include you and me being someone like this, obviously. I think we know about that. But it does not include the way of the smooth-talking man who's always trying to get something for nothing, always trying to get his way. That is not God's way. Okay? Number two, the second thing the way of the Lord is not the way of the strange woman. Look in chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. Remove thy way from her, that's the strange woman, verse 8, and come not nigh the door of her house. Men, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27, her house, the strange woman's house, is the way to hell. Yep. The way to hell. So the way of the Lord does not include strange women. It does not include me as a man coming even nigh the door of her house. Not even the door of her house. It does not include me. Okay, so ladies, obviously you're not going to be that strange woman. But men, you got to understand something. The way of the Lord is never going to lead you to a strange woman. Number three, the way of the Lord is not the way of those who are sneaky. Turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Now, that word right there, transgressors, means those who are always sneaking around. Those who are always trying to break and bend the rules in a sneaky way where nobody knows what they're doing. That is the way of the transgressor. That is the way that is the hard. By the way, when you start living like that, you never know who you told what to. You never know who heard what story and who didn't hear what story and who did I say this to and who did I... Because you're constantly trying to sneak around, and you're one of those people that say rules are made to be broken. That's not the way of the Lord. That is not the way. You got to understand, that is not the way. The Bible says also, next, it's not the way of those that are stumbling sin slaves. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9. Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. That wicked there is, the Bible talks about in chapter 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So they don't have any understanding. They don't even know where they're at in the darkness, and therefore they don't even know why they're stumbling around. That is never the way of the Lord. Can I say something to you tonight? I don't know if you're following me or not, but I'm trying to get you to understand many people are never going to be in the way of the Lord because they continue to walk in these ways.
Right. Amen.
Okay, you've got to understand what the way of the Lord is not, and then we're going to get to what it is here in a minute, but it is not the way of those that are sneaking around, those that are, look, chapter 5, verse 22, don't look there, let me read it to you. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. So the wicked are they have no understanding, they stumble around in the darkness, and they end up being slaves to their own sin.
I don't
think I need to tell you that that's not the way of the Lord. That is not the way of the... And can I say something to you? It's not the person that you need to be running with either. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Number next, it is not the way of the slothful. Chapter 15, you're there, verse 19. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns. A hedge of thorns. Now, to be slothful means to be lazy. Okay? To be slothful means to be lazy. Now listen, if you are going to stay in the way of the Lord, stay with me tonight, hear this quickly, you must not look for the path of least resistance. You dare not live your life thinking, well, I'm just going to see what is the easiest way I can find to live for the Lord and stay right there. That's never going to be the way of the Lord. The way of the slothful is a hedge of thorns. You know what a thorn is? A thorn is something that cuts you and pokes you and pricks you and sticks you in the eyeball and it makes you bleed and hurts you constantly over and over and over, and it hedges you everywhere you turn. It's there. The way of the slothful is not the way of the Lord. You've got to understand what the way of the Lord is not. Don't always look for the... Listen. Well, I'm on this. The way of the Lord is not always the open door. What do you mean, preacher? Doesn't God open doors for you? He can. He can, but so can Satan. And lure you right through there, and you think, well, this is just beautiful because it's so easy. Well, where in God's name did you get that from? You didn't get that from the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said that there's a great and effectual door opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So God's doors don't always mean it's easy. That means that there are many adversaries, because when you're trying to do the will of God, you got to understand it's not going to be easy.
Right.
And if you're looking for the easy way out, you're going to be tempted to just find the slothful, the lazy way. Well, I'll just serve the Lord this way because this is easy. But the Bible says that's not the way of the Lord.
That's right.
Now, I know I just hair-lipped some of you, and you've been listening to too many liberal preachers on the radio, but that's not what you... You don't live for open doors. You follow the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It's not the way of the slothful, church. God can open doors, of course He can. He can answer prayers better yet. That's how you should say it. He answers prayers and He gives you... But He says, I will make a way in the wilderness. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's a way in the wilderness. Listen, when you follow the Lord... I'm going to hurry up here because I got a lot to say. But when you follow the Lord, quit looking for the easy way. You need to endure some hardness so you can be a better soldier. So you can be more experienced. So you can help other people come in behind you.
Amen.
I mean, I don't need to talk to Miss Squires back there or Miss Chancellor back there who have lived for the Lord for so many years. And they're not going to sit there and tell you, well, everything was just open doors, preacher. That's foolishness. It's following Jesus. It's following the Word of God. It's obeying God. It's trusting and obeying. It's not the path of least resistance. It's not the easy way. Don't be caught up in that as being slothful, okay? That's not the way of the Lord. Next, it's also neither is it the way of the stubborn. Proverbs 22, verse 5, quickly. Stubborn. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. The way of the froward, that word froward means unyielding, disobedient, turning away from, rebellious, stubborn. Okay? The Bible says thorns and snares are in that way. That's not the way of the Lord.
Right.
Sometimes you have to realize that you don't know everything.
Amen.
And when God teaches you something you didn't know, don't be so stubborn to think, well, then I just don't think I'm going to like that. Because if that's the case, you're just going to keep walking in thorns and snares. The forward doesn't always mean, you know, evil, perverse. It just means unyielding. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do anything different. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way my family's always done it. This is the way my this and that. That's just stubbornness. And the Bible says stubbornness is as idolatry. Are you with me tonight? So that's not the way of the Lord. In other words, you've got to be teachable. You've got to be humble and yielding to the will of God, through the Word of God, and understanding that the way of the Lord is not always... you can't be stubborn. It's not always what you thought it was when you first got saved. And finally, let's go back to where we started in Proverbs 14. This kind of sums it up here, and then I'm going to get into the good things. But the way of the Lord is not the way of the smooth-talking man, always trying to get something for nothing. The way of the Lord is not the way of the strange woman. The way of the Lord is not the sneaky, always trying to get something behind your back, deception. The way of stumbling around sin slaves in the darkness. It's not the way of the slothful. It's not the way of the stubborn. It's not the way, in verse 12, look what it says here in verse 12, Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way which seemeth right. It's not always the way that it seems like it should be. It's not always the way that may seem right. Okay? See, that's what I'm talking about, open doors right there. Well, this is an open door. It just seems right. This is going to lower my bills. This is going to make things easier for me. Again, that doesn't mean it's the will of God.
Right. Amen. Right.
There is a way which seemeth right. It seems like it should be everything, but the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You have to be very careful. I'm telling you right now, you can't trust your own eyes. You can't trust your own heart. You can't trust what seems to be right. Yeah. You have to be very careful that it's God's will according to God's Word leading you through God's Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Folks, listen, you're going to have to learn to walk with God.
Yep. Amen.
You're looking for things, that's not the way. The way of a fool, chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I mean, I could go talk to any number of homeless people right now, and they would tell you, oh, I'm saved, I'm right with God, I'm living the life of God's will. The way of a fool is right in their own eyes.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can't convince them that they're not right. You know, they're sleeping in their own urine. They're drunkards. They're drug addicts. But yet they'll tell you they're all right with God. I've talked to transgenders. I've talked to sodomites. I've talked to lesbians, and they're trying to tell you that it's okay with God the way they're living.
Yeah.
The way of a fool is right in their own eyes. Listen, but that you have to understand, it's not what it seems like. You have to dig and find the way of the Lord according to the Word of God. Now, quickly, those things are what the way of the Lord is not. And I think most of you have that, hopefully, by now. But number one, what the way of the Lord is, and we're trying to understand it, remember? We're trying to understand it so we can make sure we walk in it and be prepared. It is the way of, chapter 3, dependence upon God. Chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with how much? Well, what if it looks wrong? What if it seems wrong? Again, trust in the Lord with all. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not into what you see. Lean not into what you think. Lean not into what somebody else told you.
Yeah.
Especially somebody who's not even in church.
Yeah.
In all thy what? Ways, acknowledge Him, the Lord, and He will. It's a promise there, church. He shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
So what am I doing? If I'm going to be and understand the way of the Lord, the number one thing I've got to understand is it's always total dependence upon God. I'm always trusting Him completely. If it's not depending upon God, it's not faith. Whatever God has for me to do, listen, is going to require that I live and I walk by faith. I depend upon Him. You know, the Bible says there's no other way to please God. You know that. There's no other way to please God. Obviously, if I'm going to be in the way of the Lord, if I'm going to understand this way, then it's obviously going to be something that pleases God. Right?
Amen.
So if I'm doing what God says in dependence upon God, I'm trusting Him with all my heart, I'm not leaning on my understanding or anybody else. I mean, I don't care if President Trump says it's right. I don't care if Hillary Clinton says it's right. If what does God say? Then I've got to depend upon God, and I've got to place my life in His hands and do what He says. And that's what the way of the Lord is.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care what some radio evangelist says. I don't care what some TV preacher says. I don't even care what I say. You've got to find out in the Word of God, dearly beloved, what God's will for you is.
That's right.
Now, it's not going to be the way that we've already talked about. But it is going to require 100% that you depend upon God.
Yes.
Amen.
That's where you're going to find the way of the Lord. Psalm 56:11 says, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me."
Sure. Amen.
Because you see, when I trust God, somebody's going to have an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
And understand, I'm not depending upon them. I'm depending upon the Lord. The way of the Lord is always the way of dependence upon God. Number two, the way of the Lord is always departure from evil.
That's right.
Look in verse 7 right there where we're at. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil."
Yeah.
Okay, we're still talking about trusting in the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, directing our paths. And then he says, don't be wise in your own eyes, because your wisdom is foolishness compared to God's. My wisdom is foolishness. Fear the Lord and always realize it's always going to include departing from evil. Some of us, sometimes I just look and I pray and I love and I want to help people, but their lives they're just filled with evil.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
And they're never going to find the will of God for their life. They're never going to be able to really enjoy what God has for them because they won't depart from evil. They won't get away from the evil of the world. God's way is never going to include you just knowingly involved in evil.
Right.
Never.
Amen.
You've got to get it in your heads, dearly beloved. We've got to get it in our hearts. God's way is a complete departure from the evil of this world. If we fear the Lord, according to this verse, we'll walk in His way and we will depart from evil. It will be a natural result of our fearing God and wanting to do His will. Yeah. Evil will repulse us. We will not desire evil. We will depart from evil. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Amen. Amen.
Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. What does that mean? That means even the evil way. If there's a way that's leading me to evil, I'm gonna even get out of that. I'm gonna get away from that way. I may not get to the evil yet, but there's a way that's leading me there. I'm going to hate even the way that leads to evil. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? God's going to give you some understanding along the way because He's trying to protect you. His grace is going to open your eyes to see, hey, you know, this way is leading you to evil. This way is leading you away from good and right. This way is not my way. Get out of this way. And you have to understand at that point, at that time, you must listen. We've got to understand that the way of the Lord is always going to include departing from evil, even the evil way.
That's right.
If that way is taking you away from truth and righteousness and godliness and holiness, and is taking you closer to worldliness, if that way is making you think more like the world, if that way is making you dress like the world, if that way is making you talk like the world, if that way is making you go where the world goes, that way is evil, and you've got to depart from that way, or you will never get in God's way. You'll never be in the way of truth and right. You'll never find it. Amos 3:3 says that two people cannot walk together except they be agreed. God, when you're in God's way, you understand something, I'm depending upon Him, which means He's right there with me to take care of me. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But if I want to walk in the way of evil, then I'm no longer walking with God.
Right.
Right? You understand that? I cannot walk with God because if He's trying to lead me in the paths of truth and righteousness, but I'm leading and I want to go in the way of the world, well, guess what? I'm not I'm leaving him. He's not leaving me.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Two people cannot walk together if they're going in different directions.
Yep.
You try it. See how long it lasts. Try it. God's direction is always going to lead you away from evil. All evil, folks. Now, here's what I think the problem is today, and maybe I should have preached on this a little while. Here's what the problem is today, is that this world calls evil good and good evil, and you don't know the difference. Because you're listening to the world instead of listening to God. Because you're listening to what they say instead of getting in the Bible. Because you're walking with the world instead of walking with God. And so you're thinking what they say is good, and what God says is evil is bad, and you're confused. But listen, the world has always been backwards. God's not backwards.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Amen.
The way of the Lord. You got to understand it so you can be prepared. Listen, I'm always going to be dependent. How long do I have to depend on God, preacher? Well, what do you mean, how long do you have to depend on? The rest of your life would be great.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So until I get to what point do I have to... What do you mean? Until you get to heaven, and then you're going to be dependent on Him for the rest of eternity, because you're just going to be sitting... I mean, what do you mean, how long?
Right.
I mean, there's no end. That we walk by faith until we get to heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
We have what God wants us to have, and we don't have what He doesn't want us to have, and we don't quit on God because we don't get what we want. We trust right. God all the way. It's depending upon God.
Yep. Amen.
And then it's always, listen, it's always, I can't depend upon God if I'm trying to mix in evil with it. It's foolishness.
Yep, that's right.
But it's what so many people nowadays, they don't, and again, I don't think they understand evil from good. Because they don't walk with God close enough. Number three. What is the way of God? The way of the Lord? I've got to understand it. Number three, it is always the way of divine safety.
Amen.
Divine safety. Look in chapter 3, verse 23. Then shalt thou walk. Well, let's read verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then... shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Boy, isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I mean, if you think anybody else can keep you safer than God, then you just don't know God.
Amen. That's right, brother.
I'm talking about divine safety, where God keeps my way safely, where my foot does not stumble. Well, listen, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. He preserves them. He keeps them safe. He protects them. He preserves them. He doesn't let them be devoured. Listen, it's a way of safety. It's a way of protection. It's a way of... God's way is always the safest place to be, no matter what.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, you go ask Daniel if he thought, well, I'm going to spend the night in the lion's den. Go ask Daniel if he thought that was the safest place to be. Well, listen, Daniel was a man of God. Daniel was a man that had the purpose in his heart. He was not going to defile himself with the world's ways, with the way of evil. And when he landed in that lion's den, listen to me, dearly beloved, that was the safest place he could have spent that night than anywhere else in the world.
That's right. Amen.
In the lion's den.
Amen.
You go ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, well, do you think you were in the safest place? I was in the middle of a furnace that was heated seven times hotter than it had ever been. But if you find out from their testimony in the Bible, you see that that day when they were thrown in that furnace, that was the safest place they could have ever been.
Yep.
Why? Because it was in God's will. It was the way of the Lord for their life.
Yep.
I mean, little Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He wasn't a man of war or some kind of... he wasn't even a contractor. He had cupbearer's hands. They didn't have calluses on them. They were soft hands.
Yeah.
But But yet he went to Jerusalem and got busy on fire for God. And here comes Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and enemy after enemy after enemy. And they wanted him. They come down off that wall. Come down off that wall. That wall. They hated him. They wanted him to die. But you go ask him, were you safe on that wall? Well, of course I was safe. I was in the place of God's will for my life. That was the safest place I could be.
Amen. That's right.
The divine safety that God gives us, it's always the safest place. A child of God in the way of the Lord is immortal until God's finished with him. When his race is finished, okay, it's time to come home. Amen. When your race is finished, okay, it's time to come home. You know, some people died. There were over 5 million people martyred for their faith in Christ. But you know why? Because their race was over.
That's right.
I understand something, dearly beloved. That a bullet has no power if God doesn't want you to die.
That's right.
A knife cannot take your life unless God lets it.
Amen.
A lion cannot have you unless God says he can.
Yep.
And when I'm in the will of God, unless God's finished with me, you can do anything you want to me, dearly beloved. You can't take my life until God's done. Because he is my safety. He's my protection. In his way, it's divine safety. That's exactly right. Fear will make you quit, and you'll think you're safer somewhere in your living room on your couch. You'll think you're safer somewhere where it's just comfortable. You may be comfortable, but you're not safe.
That's right. Yep.
If you're out of the will of God.
That's right.
There's safety in that. Safety in the way. You've got to we're trying to remember, we're talking about understanding the way, right? It's the way of depending on God. It's depending on God. Departing from evil. It's the way of divine safety. And next, it's also the way, chapter 10, verse 29, quickly. I've got to hurry. It's the way we're trying to understand so we can be prepared, so we can be understanding and not fools. Chapter 10, verse 29, it says, the way of the Lord is strength. It's the way of divine strength. How many times do I see, again, I don't want to pick on anybody and embarrass anybody. How many times do I see Mrs. Squires walk in these church doors, and the only strength that she has is the strength that God gives her.
Amen.
To come to church. And I know there's other people that hurt physically. They're hurting and they're ailing. And I know that some of you have ailments that I don't even know about. But I'm talking about God giving us strength that we can't get anywhere else.
Amen.
That's right.
In His will. Doing His work in the way that He has for us. Walking in His way. Understanding. That's where I get strength. I'm talking about, you want me to talk about Nehemiah again? You know what he said when he prayed? He said, Lord, remember, he had soft hands. He had a lot of blisters after he got done 52 days of building that wall. A lot of bleeding hands. I can't, you know why? How do I know that? Because you know what he prayed? Here's what he prayed. Lord, strengthen my hands for the work.
Yeah.
Why? Because he wasn't used to working with rocks and stones.
Yeah.
He was a cupbearer.
Yeah.
But how did he get it done in 52 days? Because he was in the way of the Lord.
Right.
And he got strength from the God of heaven.
Amen.
Divine strength.
Yep.
Divine strength. Strength that you can't get from a pill. Strength that you can't get from monster. Strength that comes from heaven. It's listen, you know what the Bible calls this strength? Grace. God's grace to keep going. Listen, when my strength is gone.
Yeah, that's right.
Turn over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to Proverbs, but look, you know these verses, but these are precious verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It is always the way of divine strength, the way of the Lord. We need to understand the way. It's the way of divine strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, so that I would not get puffed up with pride.
Right.
Through the abundance of the... He saw things that no human being has ever seen that's still on earth.
Right.
And he said, God didn't want me to get puffed up above measure through the abundance... That there was given me a thorn in the flesh. It was a physical defect. We don't know if it was his eyesight, if it was his legs, because he was not very stable on his legs. But we know it was a physical... painful, a thorn hurts, a physical painful defect of some sort. And the Bible, he prayed. He said, I prayed, let's back up here, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Now, who gave it to him? God. God put a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted again. He said, God does not want me to get full of myself.
Yeah, right.
Can I tell you something? If you're not careful in the way of the Lord, boy, that's very, very easy to do, is you get full of yourself thinking that you are something.
Yeah.
I mean, you start walking with God, and then you start getting proud of how much you're walking with God.
Yeah.
You start praying like you should, and then you start getting proud of how much time you spend in prayer. You start memorizing Bible verses like you're supposed to. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Then you start getting proud of how many verses you know. Come on, we're just human.
Yeah.
We're just carnal. We're fallen beings. But but every once in a while, in the way of the Lord, in the will of God, God's got to do something to you to keep you from getting so big that you can't get through the door. I'm talking about your head.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8. Now the Apostle Paul did what any human being would do. For this thing... I besought the Lord thrice. I prayed. Only three times? We would have prayed about 300. But he prayed three times that it might depart. He said, Lord, this hurts. Lord, this hurts. Lord, don't you know I'm trying to do your will? This hurts. Three times. Just three. And God answered him. And he said unto me, isn't that a blessing thing? Isn't it a blessing God answers prayer?
Amen.
God answers prayer. He said unto me, my grace. That's strength right there. How do I know that? Because it says it. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His thorn made him weak physically. He wasn't running marathons. He wasn't pounding, he wasn't building houses. He was weak physically. He was made weak on purpose. And he said, but God told me his grace, his strength is enough for me, because it's his strength is made perfect in my weakness.
That's right.
I can safely say right here that depleted human strength, when you're in the way of the Lord, you need to expect it to some degree.
Yeah.
You need to expect that God is going to humble you somehow.
Yep.
But, He's going to give you divine strength to make up for. He's going to give you that power that you didn't have when you were physically 100%. He's going to give you a power that you did not have, because in your weakness, then he says, okay, now I can use you.
Yeah.
Now I can use you because you're not so puffed up. You're not so proud of yourself. Now you're down here where you need to be. And then, doesn't the Bible says, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Right.
It ain't going to happen the other way around.
Amen.
If I try to increase, he's decreasing. And I ain't going to get nothing done. I'm walking out of the will of God. You understand? The way of the Lord, listen, is a place of divine strength. But you have to understand that divine strength comes when God humbles me and makes me usable a vessel.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Meet for his work. Fit to do what he wants me to do. You've got to understand. Because right here, Paul could have prayed these three times and said, Lord, take this away. This hurts. Lord, take this away. I don't like this. Lord, don't forget this now. This wasn't sin that caused this.
That's right. Yep.
God took him up to the third heaven and he saw heaven.
Yeah, right.
And he got to come back down. And he saw things, the Bible says, that could not be uttered. I can't tell you what I saw.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I sure want to. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. Boy, you're not going to believe what I saw. And God said, you better not. you better shut your mouth.
Man.
Here's a thorn to remind you. He wasn't in sin.
Right.
He didn't go out and wreck his car drunk one night. No, he was doing the will of God. Boom, here's a thorn to keep you humble.
Yeah.
It hurts, Lord. Lord, I was doing your will. What's going on here? It hurts, Lord. And finally God said, my strength is made perfect now.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, how many Christians do you think say, okay, forget this. But they don't understand the way. They don't understand the way. It's wisdom, remember. It's prudent. It's wise to understand the way. To understand what is coming so I can be prepared. How do I prepare for this, preacher? You better just realize all of God and none of me right now.
Amen.
If you haven't learned that yet, learn it now. If you're in the midst of it, just remember it right now. Let this refresh your memory. And most Christians would have said, forget this. But he said, most gladly therefore, in verse 9, I will rather glory in my infirmities. I will praise the Lord for my weaknesses. I will praise the Lord for my pain.
Yeah. Amen.
You bunch of crazy Christians, I'm telling you what. Bunch of crazy Christians praising God for your pain. Well, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Yeah.
Therefore, in verse 10, therefore now, look, he's not done yet. We're still learning from him. I take pleasure. It pleases me when I'm infirm, I'm sick. I take pleasure in reproach. It pleases me when people are mocking me. It pleases me in necessities when I don't have what I need. Yep. Now, wait a minute. God's supposed to provide for all of my needs. Dearly beloved, listen to me. God can use those times of necessities to teach you to trust Him.
Right.
You know, you can skip a meal and still live.
Amen.
It's called fasting. No way. That's isn't that for Catholics? On Easter? No. It's still New Testament doctrine. But listen to me. Most Americans have no idea what necessities are. But the Bible tells us when God's working and we're in His way and He's divine, giving us divine strength, we need to learn to even take pleasure in things that we need. In persecutions.
Amen.
In distresses. In stress. Well, don't tell me Paul didn't have any stress. You don't know your Bible, dearly beloved. He had more stress than all of us combined.
Right.
Yeah, amen. Right.
And he said, I'm enjoying this, Lord, because I know right now your grace is perfect. Your strength is all I have. In other words, basically what he said, your strength is all I have, Lord.
Yeah.
But I'm glad because that's all I need. And you know, somebody said, I don't know who said it, but you never really know that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody wants to go there. Nobody sits around and prays for that. I understand that. But if it's God's will, if I'm in the way of the Lord, I need to understand that He may just do something to that degree, maybe not all the way, but some kind of something to just put a whole lot of pressure on me. You see, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts.
Amen.
Take away the dross from the silver and there cometh forth a vessel for the finer. But to get the dross off the silver, it takes a lot of scrubbing and pressure and labor and friction. Oh, y'all are real quiet, I know. But see, I'm trying to help you understand the way. Because if you don't understand this, when this happens, you will be hightailing it to another easy-believing church, easy luxury church, where nothing will ever happen to you except you will just live and dwell among evil.
Yeah.
But understand the way, you can be prepared for it in your heart, in your mind. God, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm not getting out of your way. I'm not getting out of your will because I need the strength that only you can give me right now.
All right, amen.
Amen.
Divine strength. God brings us, it's at this place that God brings us to a place where we understand it's not me, it's God.
That's right.
It's not me. It's God. I've got to hurry. It's also the way of distractions, many distractions. Turn back to 9:15, Proverbs 9, verse 15. Everybody okay still?
Amen.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 15. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 15. I will gladly, therefore, take pleasure. I will take pleasure, therefore, in long preaching. He should have put that in there too. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's the way of the Lord. Amen. Let's move on. Chapter 9, verse 15. That's not in there. I can't add to the Word of God. Yeah, chapter 9, I'm sorry. It's verse 5. Come eat of my bread. I'll get over here, guys. Here we go. Chapter 9, verse 13. Let's read from there. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Notice now, verse 15. To call passengers who go right on their ways. This foolish woman is calling passengers who are right with God.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
She's calling unto passengers, those who are passing by her house, her way. She's calling unto the ones that are right with God. Well, I'm talking about the way of the Lord is right, is it not?
Yeah.
But in that right way, there are distractions. Now, this foolish woman is representing a distraction, obviously. She's not calling unto those that are already gone out of the way. She doesn't care about them. She cares about you that are trying to stay right with God.
Yeah.
And that's nothing more than an old-fashioned distraction.
Yeah.
Come over here. Come over here. And she's calling out. Listen, it's not a secret thing. She's calling passengers who are going right on their way. This is nothing more than an old-fashioned distraction. This is you having to hear things around you that are trying to take your mind off of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Man.
You're hearing voices calling unto you. Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have to finish the course? If we're going to finish the course, we have to look unto Jesus?
Yep.
We cannot look to the right.
That's right.
Or to the left. We have to ponder the path of our feet. We have to realize this is the way that I'm supposed to go. But yet over here is this voice calling me.
Yeah. Come on.
What? It's nothing more than a distraction.
Right.
Don't think that just because I'm in the way of the Lord, nobody's going to bother me anymore.
No. Yeah.
That's dumb. That's not going to happen.
Right.
They're going to bother you more than ever.
That's right. Amen.
She's not calling out to you when you're already in her way. You're already in her house eating her food. She's leaving you alone. You're happy. She's happy. But over here where you're trying to fight for the good fight of faith and walk the walk, a walk with God, that you're right with God and you're living His will. She's, come on! What's that voice I hear?
Yeah, come on.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, but He also said that they hear a lot of strange voices.
That's right.
Yeah. Calling out. Put down your armor for now. Come on.
Yeah.
Relax. Take a break. Just watch this one movie.
Come on.
I mean, come on. You've been fighting all day. Just sit down and relax. Drink this one drink.
Yeah, come on. Drink.
I mean, after all, you know, you're all fired up and gung-ho. And come on. Just chill out. Just go hang out with this one buddy. Just for now.
Oh, preach.
Just get on your dumb phone and Facebook this one friend just for a little while. I mean, after all, she's been calling you and texting you and calling. Come on, just answer her. What's the big deal?
Yeah, preach.
She's calling. Calling you.
That's right.
Come on. What's the big deal? Lay down, rest, relax. I'll massage your feet. You don't think that's going to happen? Listen to me, dearly beloved, you've got to realize that she is a foolish woman. She is simple. She knows nothing. She is nothing more than a puppet that is used by the puppet master Satan to distract you out and get you out of God's will.
Right. Yeah, amen.
Now listen, you say, well, I'm not a man. That woman's not going to distract me. I don't care about... No, listen. But you know what she's going to do to you, ladies? She's going to say, hey, come on, why don't you dress like me?
Yeah, come on. Yeah, preach.
Why don't you dress like me? Come on, it's not that big a deal. Good night, your preacher's just too old-fashioned. I mean, you're going to be comfortable, don't you? You've got to be comfortable.
Come on, preach.
We see, for the men... She's trying to call unto you to lust.
Yeah.
But for the ladies, she's calling unto you to be like her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. See, she's calling unto all the passengers that are going right on their way.
Come on, brother.
I'm in the way of the Lord. Yeah, that's right. And you're going to hear these voices all the time.
That's right.
Come on.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be that. You don't have to wear those every day.
Oh, preach. Yep.
I mean, don't you know that makeup makes men more attracted to you? What do you mean makes men more attracted to you? I thought men were supposed to be attracted to your heart because you're a godly, meek, and quiet lady.
Yeah.
Oh, but you don't understand. I'm trying to attract a man. That's just a distraction. That's not how you're going to find a man. With makeup and tight clothes so you can lust on a man can lust. That's not ever going to work.
That's right.
But that's a distraction.
Amen.
Come on. But she's calling out to you because you're right in the way. You're doing right. You look like a godly lady. You talk like a godly lady. You act like a godly lady. And then she's saying, look, you know what? There's more fun over here.
Sure.
Right.
You got to understand the way so you can be prepared.
Yeah.
And lastly tonight, chapter 14, verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Who do you fear? The fear of man bringeth a snare, by the way. I could throw that in there. But anyway, but, look in verse 2, chapter 14. But he that is perverse, crooked, twisted, froward, wicked, evil. He that is perverse in his ways. Hey, stop right there. That person could be saved.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
He that is perverse in his ways, what's it say, despiseth him. Now, wait a minute. What's that mean? Despises the Lord or despises that man? Yeah.
Right.
You got it. Both. When a person's perverse in their ways and you're trying to walk in uprightness, understand they will despise you.
Yep. Amen.
Not everybody. But when they're perverse, whether they're saved or not, dearly beloved, listen to me. Not everybody that's saved is right with God. Not everybody that's saved is in the way of the Lord. Not everybody that's saved gives a rip about the will of God. You've got to understand, if they're perverse in their ways, wait a minute, that means they're not in the way of God.
That's right.
That means they're not in the will of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
But they're so nice.
Yeah.
Until I start talking about the Bible.
Come on.
Understand the way, dearly beloved, so you can be prepared.
Right.
So you don't be not surprised, because those that are perverse in their ways will despise you when you're upright in yours.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But wisdom is to understand so you can be prepared.
Amen.
I don't like that. Now understand something. I don't like it either. But it's just the Bible. It's just true. No matter how nice you are, no matter how much you love people, no matter how much you want them to get saved, if you're upright in your ways, somebody is going to despise you.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't like that. I don't either. If I could change, I'd change that. But what do you expect? I mean, do you think Jesus and Satan get along? By the way, Mormons, they're not brothers. Anyway, let's go on. They're not brothers, amen? You must be prepared. You must be prepared for some people. They just don't like you. They may treat you like you were trash. They may make fun of you all over Facebook. They may slander you until they're blue in the face. And you would rather just that not be true. And I know that. And I'm not trying to make it sound like it's fun. But they just would rather you not even live. Preacher, is it really that bad? Well, let me read something to you. He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Proverbs 29:27. It's not encouraging me, preacher. I know that. But don't forget the divine safety. Don't forget the divine strength. Yeah, yeah. Don't forget all the other things that we talked about up to this point. Understand that they despise me. That's fine. I'm not following them. I'm not walking in their way. They're not leading me. Amen. They're just distractions. They despise me. But the fact is, they despise me because I'm upright in the way. If I went back to my old life, everything would be fine.
Yep. Try it. Oh. Yep.
I've got family members right now that used to be fine with me when I was a worthless, wicked wretch. I mean, they invite me to all their parties, invite me to their house, barbecues, the summers. Hey, come on, 4th of July, let's come. But now, all of a sudden.
Yeah, Paul, preach.
Right, I remember
it. I don't go looking for that stuff. But I dead sure am not going to give up Jesus and the way of the cross and the way of blessings and the way of divine safety and the way of divine strength and the way of divine grace and the way of divine help to go make them happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
What in the world is that going to accomplish?
Oh, amen. That's right.
Right? I mean, what's that for? What good is that? There's only one that deserves my loyalty.
Amen.
They're going to despise you, dearly beloved. I'm not trying to make you, I don't want to make you leave out of here depressed. But understand something. You need to be prepared.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, again, verse 8, where we are there, chapter 14, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Understand where I'm at. Understand where I'm going. Understand what God's doing. Understanding, it's wise to know what you can expect in God's will. I can expect to be able to depend on God. I'm not going to give that up because somebody doesn't like me. Somebody once said, when you're 20 years old, you're worried about what everybody thinks of you. When you're 40 years old, you don't care what anybody thinks of you. And then when you're 60-year-old, you realize nobody's even thinking about you, really. But, I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. The Word of God is always, forever, true and settled in heaven. It's God's Word.
Amen.
Listen, and I'm in the way of God. I'm in the way of depending. I can trust Him.
Yep.
He'll direct my paths. I'm going to depart from evil because I want to be able to walk in His safety and in His strength. But it's not going to be without distractions. Even those that despise me. It's wise, dearly beloved, it's wise to be prepared.
Yeah.
Understand, hey, this is the way of the Lord. This is nothing new. It's happened to many gone before me. It's happened to many and it will continue to happen until Jesus comes.
Amen.
It's the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for Your Word. Help us, Lord God, as we walk in Your way, to understand it better, to understand it better, to be more prepared, to be wiser in our daily lives. bless your people now. As they pray, as they spend time with you, I pray that this invitation would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us. Strengthen us tonight. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.